oh, that must mean the prophecy is not so. Oh, that means God's word has not come to pass. No. Look at Mark chapter 4. It is not part of our teaching, but I just feel impressed in my heart. I'm going to read from verse 25. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Okay? Now, figuratively speaking, you can say, we're in the evening of this year. Isn't it? Okay, we're not in the afternoon, we're not in the morning. We're in the evening of 2022. And Jesus is saying to you, let us pass over 2023. That's what he's saying. Let's pass over 2023. And look at what happened next. When he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Okay? But it was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not? So Jesus was with them, the storm arose, they woke Jesus up, and Jesus was with them. Their security was with them. Their life was with them. Their strength was with them. Their prophet was with them. Their savior was with them. And yet they were still afraid. So being fearful is a choice. It depends on what you are looking at. You know this is the Messiah. You know this is the Savior. You know that his words have never fallen to the ground. And he told you, let us go to the other side. And then he went to sleep. What should you normally do? You go to sleep. Why are we praying this much? So that when storms arise, you and I can sleep. Tell your neighbor, sleep. When storms start, sleep. Go to rest. Except you can talk in your sleep. Because the major problem wasn't the storm. The major problem was the nonsense that they were saying. They forgot that he said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go to the other side as long as there's no storm. He didn't give that condition. He just said, let us go over to the other side. And since he's the word of God, and the word of God cannot fall to the ground, what they should have paid attention to is, why is he sleeping? You know the kind of storm. There are even a number of us that, how many of us have been in a boat before? We've gone on a boat trip before. Boat trip, let me see. Boat trip. Okay. How many of us enjoyed it? Interestingly, can you see that almost everybody, nobody raised their hand. Who raised their hand? Let me see whether somebody's genuinely saved. Okay, just one person raised their hand. You know what that means? Most of us are not comfortable. Okay. My younger brother went to serve in Bayelsa, and he told me, once the ferry is ferrying you across, say the first problem you face is that you look everywhere, all you can see is water. No sight of land. And you have been on land all your life. So your mind starts telling you, what if? So you have to first fight the thought. Don't do what if, y'all. Don't do what if, y'all. Nigerians are very creative. Like somebody said, that's not when to listen to people. We're saying, Mami, water, power, powerless power. That, let us get to land first. Don't sing that song now. Let us first arrive. Please don't sing that. All you can see is water. Either your mind is playing tricks on you. So their mind was so focused on the waves, they forgot the word. The word came before the storm. The word will see you through the storm. And the word is telling you what you should do, which is go to sleep. When the storm is tired of raging, it will pipe down. The ship will land on the other side. It doesn't make sense for you to think that Jesus was so tired, he fell asleep, he was so sleepy he couldn't even wake in the storm. No, that sleep was not natural. It was a sleep of rest. That means rather than stand up and complain and murmur, when you just sense, if I literally go to bed next year. Glory to God. Did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. That is, once you cannot process what is happening, give God thanks and say, right now, I'm going to bed. And I will sleep. And when I wake up, it will be a new day. A morning without clouds. Glory to God. Don't forget instruction. Tips are coming. Instructions are coming. So please let us remember those instructions, because he's trying to prepare our hearts. So in case, some of us, when we see this morning, we become crybabies. He didn't tell me to be like this. He has told you now. He has told you now. Go to sleep. Amen. Go to sleep. Don't worry. Don't fret. Be careful for nothing. I have no anxiety about it. Just go to sleep. So when you see the storm, understand. Jesus already said that we have gone over to the other side. That's why you are saying now, I've walked through January to December. It has been a glorious year. Not it to be a glorious year. It has been a glorious year. 2023 has been my best year yet. I've experienced abundance and increase. I've experienced ministry like I've never had. I've had open doors and opportunities. I've entered into new associations. And I've prospered so much, my account overflows. 2023 has been a glorious year for me. You have to call those things which be not as though they were. That's what the believe, a sound believer does. That's part of the reason why you are praying. Because the one you are praying to and you are in fellowship with is not constrained by time. That's why in him, you stroll down to the end of the year and come back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, Acts chapter 13. So we want to continue looking at the name. Acts 13. We're approaching this from many angles. Just to give us a full and rich knowledge. Acts 13. And I'm going to read from verse 13. But God raised him from the dead. This is Paul preaching. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. That's eyewitnesses to the people. And we declare unto you what glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers. No, those are not our fathers. So because who is predominantly the audience was addressing, they were Jews. So the promise was made unto the fathers. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that what? He has raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I what? Begotten thee. And based on clear Bible explanation, side by side, putting scriptures together, a lot of preachers never understood that word begotten because they only understood the incarnation of Jesus as the birth. But you see, the begotten that is using here is a reference to fulfillment of promises. In other words, that God became flesh and became a man among us is a partial fulfillment. That's not the full fulfillment. That's the first leg of the journey. So Paul is preaching after the fact. That means after the event has happened. And Paul is using the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, to explain. He just quoted the second Psalm, which incidentally, while it was written, is the only book that was numbered. Even the book of Numbers was not numbered. Okay? So that was the only book that was numbered. And that was because it was a compilation of different Psalms that were put together. Most of the Psalms were given by David, some by Asaph and Jeduthun. But see what he says in the game. He says, God has fulfilled him towards their children that he has raised up Jesus again as it is written. So this was what was promised in the second Psalm. This is what it meant by, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerned that he raised him from dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said all these wise, I will give you what? The sure mercies of David. That is eternal life. The sure mercy of David is eternal life. In other words, what was promised to David that made David write Psalm 23 is called the sure mercies of David. The assurance David had as he was going to the grave that the grave would not be the final resting place, but that God will raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, see what it says. As concerning the raising from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. So the difference between Jesus being raised from the dead and Eutychus and what's that man's name? Lazarus being raised from the dead and the son of the widow of Nain being raised from the dead is that now no more to return. Can you see the difference? In other words, he didn't just rise, he remained standing. Not with the life he went to the grave with, but by a power of an endless life. So, let me read further. It says, verse 35, wherefore, he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy only one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was led unto his fathers and saw corruption. But him whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, is preached unto you what? The forgiveness of sins. Let me further. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What was Paul doing? He was preaching the name of Jesus. What was the name? The first begotten from the dead. The one that God raised and said, thou art my son, this day. So what was promised to the fathers, God has fulfilled or he has brought to pass. How did he bring it to pass? In that he raised Jesus up from the dead. So we have been trying to separate the resurrection and the ascension, and we said the ascension is a fact of what? The resurrection. We looked at the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. In that prayer, look at John chapter 17 again from verse 1. We find or we glean details of what it was from the beginning, what the foundation of the world. This was Jesus speaking and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. What's that hour? The hour for you to glorify me, that I also may glorify thee. In other words, the assignment I have. What does it mean to glorify me so that I may glorify thee? You will raise me from the dead, and in raising me, I will glorify you by bringing many sons into glory. Glory to God. Now you made this money. So the hour has come. The hour has come. The time frame for the fulfillment of the promise has come. Then he begins to explain further. This prayer is rich. You see what it says? As thou hast given power over all flesh, that it should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the holy true God, and who? And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast what? Sent. Notice, you are giving him power to give eternal life to as many as you have given. And this is that eternal life that they might know. So notice, there is eternal life, then there is knowing. That knowing, we can call it today believing. Let me say it another way. This is eternal life, that they might know the only true God. Or eating in the resurrection of Jesus is the fullness of God's character and God's person. Hallelujah. Okay, put your hand there. If you're writing and you're opening your Bible, put your hand there. Go to Hebrews 1 again. Let's go back to Hebrews 1. From verse 1. Hebrews 1 from verse 1. See what it says again. So, at sundry times in diverse manners, the fathers or the prophets spoke unto the fathers. You know why I quoted it that way? You know, I told you that you don't start with God. So, at sundry times, diverse manners, the prophets spoke unto the fathers. In these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son. So, notice the prophets spoke to the fathers. Christ was their message. Christ was their testimony. But in these last days, Christ himself came to speak to us. Notice, he has spoken unto us. God is speaking in the Son. It's not second-hand information, it's first-hand. He says, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he what made the worlds. So why did the Son need to come? To speak with the greater clarity, whatever the prophets were not able to say with absolute clarity. Should I say that again? Notice. The writer of Hebrews is making a distinction between the utterance of the prophets and the character of God. There is the utterance of the prophets, and then there's Christ, who is the word of God now. So when you look at the prophets and their utterances, one of the mistakes you don't do is look at their character to determine the character of God, which is where many people have missed it. You are to look at God's character when you see Jesus, because God is speaking in his Son. Listen carefully. At sundry times, in diverse manners, at different ages, in diverse ways, the prophets spoke. So it was the prophets that spoke or communicated the mind of God. It wasn't God speaking directly. But when it came to the Son, God has in this last day spoken unto us by Son. You notice the word diverse is not involved. Because it's one way, one lane, with all clarity. He spoke clearly. He didn't use diverse ways. Hallelujah. Notice, the one he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he framed the activities that we see in the life of each successive prophets. So notice what it says. Then verse 3 now says something crucial. Who bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's the word character. The absolute character of God in flesh. And after, notice what it says, and upholding or bringing to pass all things with respect to the utterance of his power. Let me break that down. Everything God said by the mouth of the prophets is an utterance. That utterance was spoken with Christ in view. So Christ is the one that was designated to bring those things to pass. No prophet could do it. He now says, Christ therefore upholding, not only sustaining, but bringing to pass everything concerning the, not everything. It is everything concerning the utterance of God with respect to salvation. Remember we said, not every prophecy is concerning Christ. Don't forget it. Hallelujah. No. That would be foolish. Not every prophecy. There were prophecies that had to do with nations. That's not concerning Christ. That's why when Jesus was explaining to those two on the road to Emmaus, it was things concerning himself. That means there were many things that had nothing to do with him. Don't forget that. So there were things that it was men that fulfilled it. Isaiah made a prophecy. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. In them. So they were the ones who fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, not Christ. This people's art is wax gross. That was fulfilled by men. It is written, let his bishopric be taken away from him. Acts 1. Who fulfilled it? Judas. Let his habitation be what? Desolate. Judas fulfilled that. That wasn't Christ. So Jesus did not uphold that one. What did he uphold? All things with respect to the utterance of God's power. Hallelujah. Say God's power is in his utterances. You know what it means to say ahead of time what will happen? And what you said has enough sustaining power to still come to pass even though men try to tamper with it. That's real power. That is to say it, and you have said it, men know about it, and Satan through men tries to bring a stop to it, and as they are trying to bring a stop to it, the thing is finding fuller expression. That's real power. That means that one has enough wisdom and technology to still come to pass despite every opposition that is mounted against it. So, see what it says. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of what? The majesty on high. We're going to come back to that word, sit down. Okay, look at next verse. It says, being made so much better, that is higher in rank than the angels. Being made so much better. How was he made better? In the resurrection. When God raised him, he was made so much better. He's higher in rank than the angels. How? As he has by what? Inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name than they. So we see the word name here obviously means office, reputation, and standing. A more excellent name. The office he occupies. How he functions. What he has accomplished. So, unto which of the angels has God ever said, thou art my son? Let me ask again. What does it mean to say, thou art my son? If you've been following what we're believing. We read Acts chapter 13. What does it mean when God says, thou art my son? Is it just a pronouncement or an activity? Or both? Is it a pronouncement, an activity, or both? Both. Okay. How is it a pronouncement? Prophecy. How is it an activity? Resurrection. So, thou art my son, this day is God raising who? Jesus from the dead. Amen. So, notice, thou art my son. Unto which of the angels has God ever said? So, God did not speak futuristically concerning any angel. Neither was any angel appointed to die or to purge sins. Created beings can never be sons of God. When I say created beings now, creation is even from reproduction. Angels were created. The new creation was reproduced. There's a difference. Hallelujah. That's the difference. That means from whatever you create, you can stand apart from what you have created. But when it comes to reproduction, you live in that person. That person is the one with you. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Praise God. And that is the name of Jesus. How did God come into humanity? That's the name of Jesus. God came into humanity in the resurrection and in the ascension. So, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you, is God clearly marking Jesus out as one who occupies the highest office. How is it the highest office? That is the greatest prophecy fulfilled. That is the greatest promise. The utterance of his power has been brought to pass by one person that was ordained to do it. Who is he? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. Hallelujah. Say, my sins are purged. Say, my sins are purged. He sat down. Glory to God. That's why we sing that song, I see him seated. Hallelujah. I see him seated. So, after he had been purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Okay? Glory to God. When someone in verse 6, look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he said what? Let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the pioneer, that's what captain, the architect of their salvation, perfect through the things which he suffered. So notice, it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. So the one who pronounced or made the promises, The one who gave the prophecies. The one who made known his plans from the beginning of the world. It was necessary in order to fulfill it. The captain or the architect of that fulfillment had to be brought to that point of fulfillment through the things which he suffered. He's talking about the sufferings of Christ. He's now talking about the glory that follow now. Remember in Luke 24, 25, what did Jesus say to the disciples on the road to Emmaus? O fools, and slow of heart to what? Believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Which was what they were discussing. They took him. They beat him. They crucified him. They killed him. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So, from man's perspective, he was simply suffering. And he was suffering unjustly. And they were right. From God's perspective, he became him. For whom are all things? By whom are all things? In order to bring him to the place of fulfilling the utterance of his power. To make the captain or architect of that salvation perfect means to bring it to a place of completion through the things which he what suffered, or death became a passageway. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you coming along? Okay. So notice what it says now. See what it says. In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of that perfect through suffering. For both he that what sanctifies and they who are. So what does it mean to bring many to glory? To be sanctified. To be set apart. Or that glory is what sets you apart. How did God set Jesus apart from every prophet, every angel, every other being? Resurrection. How did God set you and I apart? Listen carefully. Not just by resurrection, but by his ascension. Did you hear what I just said now? Shall I say that again? How did God set Jesus apart from the angel? Unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? When he says that, my son, what does that mean? Has God ever raised an angel from the dead? No. What is the unique office of the one that is raised from the dead? Is one by which our sins are purged. Is one appointed to bring many sons unto what? Glory. Which glory? The glory of that resurrection. Hallelujah. We're looking at the same scriptures, but we're going just a bit deeper to understand the same scriptures, because so you won't read on the surface. So notice, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the champion, the architect, the pioneer of that salvation perfect through what? Suffering. When I hear the word perfect, it means complete, to arrive at a destination. So what's that destination? The glory, the indwelling, which is the fruit of the ascension. So let me say it another way. Notice, for both he that sanctifies and they who are what? Sanctified, all have one Father, for which cause he is not ashamed to call. The word call is literally the same word as name. He is not ashamed to name you brethren of the same stock. Or in that resurrection and ascension, a new word came out. Adelphos. Of the same womb. Of the same source. Of the same nature. I have glorified thee on earth. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. What was the plan? You will bring many sons unto glory. So you are the first begotten from the dead. That's the captain of salvation made perfect through sufferings. You are the only one in the glory, but now you bring many sons unto glory. In bringing many sons, you have moved from the authority of your name in incarnation to the authority you now have in ascension. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Shall I trace my step back a little bit and go over that again? Look at this step by step. Look at it this way. He became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons where? Into glory. To make the captain. Who is the captain? Jesus. That's the pioneer of their salvation. He's using a different word. He's referring to what he has said in the previous chapter. Remember what he said. In these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and what? Upholding all things with respect to the word of his power. Not only is the one appointed here. Appointed means is the one that God had in view to bring to pass everything God gave as a promise. So when you hear it was necessary, he became for whom are all things. That is, the one who spoke out all those things. How did he bring it to pass? He made the captain of that salvation, which is the basis of everything that's ever been saying. It was salvation, 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 salvation of men. He accomplished it by making the pioneer perfect through the things which he once suffered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are looking at the name of Jesus. And now we're looking at how he got that name as an inheritance, and how in conquering death, he also got the name by conquest. Because there has to be a conquest over death for him to be put in that kind of office. What's the office? Firstborn among many brethren. Glory to God. Firstborn among many brethren. It's an office. It's also the name. The scriptures we looked at, go back to Acts chapter 13. So we have to go back and forth. Acts 13, verse 30. Don't worry. If you haven't gotten it, I'll go over it again. You will get it. Amen. You must get it. Some of these, why are we teaching this way? So now when you are using a name, listen carefully. You know how long it takes for somebody to move away from to use the means to mention a name? And Bible doesn't use mention at all. It's very interesting that you can practice something for years, decades, and it's not in the Bible. That the Bible does not say we should mention the name. It does not say so. We're instructed to use the name, not to mention the name. So it's not wrong to mention, but it's better to use than to just mention. Because you can mention and not be using the name. That means to use the name means you need what? Knowledge. Glory to God. You need knowledge. You need knowledge. So notice in verse 34, Acts 13, 34. And as consigned that he raised him up from the notice, now no more to what? Return to where? Corruption. That's conquest. So the first man to step into death and not to stay under the dominion of death, that's conquest over death. He got the name by chasing death and slapping death in the jaw and coming out. How does the psalmist record it? Psalm 16, verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. We're going back and forth to him. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory joys, my flesh also shall rest in verse 10. Notice, for thou will not leave my soul in hell. What does that mean? My soul will go to hell. But you not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you what? Suffer thine only one to see what? The word see doesn't mean you sight though. It means to experience corruption. Now, I'm going to say something that's, you just think a little bit. When Paul was preaching this in Acts chapter 13, he said David slept and he saw corruption. But he whom God raised did not see corruption. Let me tell you what that means. Corruption, which is decay, which is a fruit of spiritual death, is the reason why when the bodies of men are put in the grave, their bodies decay. There is something inside the body that's meant to keep it alive and vibrant. When that thing left the body of Jesus, because though it has left that body, where it went, whatever he faced did not conquer him, his body remained the way it was. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? It says, you will not suffer, you only want to see what? Corruption. So, though he succumbed to death, he was not overcome by death. Are you following me? So when he says, now no more to return to corruption, he's telling you that after tasting death, the difference between him and everybody who went there was that everyone who went were actually sinners. But he has never sinned. He's the Prince of Life. Glory to God. So you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your only one to taste what? Corruption. You have made known unto me the ways of life. So death is a passing through. That's why Hebrews 2:14 now says that inasmuch as the children are partakers of what? Flesh and blood. He also himself likewise partook of the same, so that through death he might what? Destroy him that had the dominion of death, that is the devil. What dominion did Satan have? It was a dominion that sin afforded him to exercise. It was sin's dominion that allowed Satan to exercise the power of death. So where there is no sin, Satan is rendered useless. So in Jesus' case, they discovered a little late that is not like every other one. Every other one that came and went down were supposed to go down. Hallelujah. You can look at it this way. You can say sin is a gravitational pull. If there is no sin, how will you go down? You know, Satan is dense. Yeah. This is why he's dense. This is why dense. Every law that man applies to judgment failed with respect to Jesus. That should arouse suspicion. You couldn't hold any accusation that can be used to condemn him. So you hired professional liars and they couldn't agree. Something is wrong. After a matter of two or three witnesses, even two could not agree, not much less three. Pilate slept when he was in Pilate, it was a wife that slept and had terrible dreams. And told the husband, have nothing to do with that, right, madam. I've had some strange things. Because something was happening. That is, if you're spiritually sensitive, you will know that there's something unusual about it. He has been accused. Pilate was finding it difficult to convict him. I can't see anything wrong. So they had to use their own willpower. If you don't deliver this man, you're not a friend of Caesar. And men desired a robber to be given in place of a savior. Drama was playing out. So what was God's rule? In God's wisdom, they were playing to God's hands. You will not suffer your only one to see corruption. Because when he went down, he is still the only one that is going down, even though he became sin. To become sin and to sin are not the same thing. To become sin means you became a sacrifice for sin. It doesn't mean that you sinned. So if you didn't sin, then there's nothing in hell that can keep you there. Even though you will go because you became sin, but you will not stay because you never sinned. I don't know if you understand it. You understand that? So he became him for whom all things, by all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So you can say it this way, the sons he brought to glory, where were they? They were down there. Figuratively, everyone who was here to experience it were also down there figuratively. I'm not just talking about Abraham's person now. So he brought us from that place. Now look at the journey from that place into the glory of God. Hallelujah. Through death, he paralyzed him, that power of death, that is devil. And deliver those who all through their lifetime were subject to bondage through what? Fear of death. See, I'm no longer afraid. Fear of death is broken. I'm no longer afraid. I have become God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. I have safe passage to 2023. I'm God's righteousness. I'm his only one. I've been set apart. I'm in the glory now. Where he is, where I am. I'm never afraid. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of 2023. It's a glorious year for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So notice, let's go back to verse 11. We've gone back and forth a little bit so we can see what's saying. So both that sanctified him, for which cause is not ashamed to call them or to name them brethren. Notice that. To name. That's what to call. To name. So he gave you a name, he says brethren, that means of the same. That's Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate also to be conformed or conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn among many, many brethren. So of the same stock, of the same kind, of the same value, of the same standing. He's the captain of our salvation, we are the saved. Glory to God. We are the saved. John chapter 14, verse 2, glory to God. So again, let me say it this way. When you stand before the sick, should you use the name? Should you use the name? How do you use the name? Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's not voodoo. You know, it's African traditional religion that we want to carry over the same, chant it seven times. The secret is number seven. It will answer. The same thing you do in all this African jazz where they give you, eat your head three times, touch the floor, now say it. The same, you carry the same. So, you want to use the name of Jesus like talisman, you know. And the only problem is that the name you want to use, you can't see it. But you're used to holding something. Somebody here. Slavery, spiritual slavery. This one, the reason why you cannot touch it, because is in your heart. It's part and parcel of you. So they cannot take it away. You cannot get lost. You are the embodiment of the name. He has brought you into glory. The Father's plan has been fulfilled. God has been glorified in you becoming a son. Say, God is glorified. He's not ashamed to name you and say you are brethren. Hallelujah. The love he has for him is the love he has for you also. Glory to God. That's what he has for you. So John chapter 14. So notice, I will have told you I go to pray a place for you. If I go and pray a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we see that he began to speak about preparing a place. And what prepared there, he began to explain better and further as we go down the chapter. So go on, go down to verse 16. See what it says. We're looking at the name from verse 16 for context. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall what? Give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How long? That's not resurrection. That's not resurrection. Just follow. That's not resurrection. There's resurrection. There's the fruit of resurrection or the benefit. What's that benefit? I will pray the Father. Or what I will walk. What will you do? I will rise from the dead. In that rise from the dead, your sins are purged. In that purging of sins, that is me praying the Father that I may give you another comforter, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever. Look at what it says. Even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not in and knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be what? Shall be in you. That's the ascension. He shall not be where? In you. That's the ascension. He shall be in you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. For an answer, I will have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. Look at the words, I'll prepare. I will go and prepare. And if I go and I'll prepare, I will come again. And I will receive you. I welcome you. So now, it now looks as though there's a place externally that it will bring you into. But that's not what it's saying. Because what it's saying now in verse 17 already tells you, I will pray the Father in verse 16, he will give you another comforter. Notice the comforter, that he may abide with you. You can mix the pronouns. I'll pray the Father that he may give you what? Another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. So the Father will abide to you, with you forever, through the comforter. Hallelujah. Are you following that now? So notice, so with the work I will do, and with the Father abide in you forever. Look at verse 23. Just follow me back and forth. John 14, 20. Yeah. And Jesus said, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. What does it mean to keep the word of Jesus? To believe. To believe. Okay, and my Father will what? Love him. Well, this phrasing is wrong, but I don't want to start going through that one. I will come. I will what? We will make our dwelling place with him, or we'll make him our mansion. What is Jesus teaching? The comforter. Let me say it this way. There are different words to use to say the same thing. He's saying the same thing. I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he, the Father, may abide with you what? Forever. Or I will make a room in you through my resurrection, and as a result of that resurrection, in the ascension, I will be in you for how long? Forever. Where is the Father? When Jesus was speaking, the Father was in the Son. What the disciples asked him as he was teaching them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to Father except by me. So they asked him, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Philip was the one who asked. Say, ah, have I been so long with you, Philip? And you are still affected by the senses? And you have still not seen me. He that has what? Seen me. Has seen who? So the conduct, the activity, my going to prepare a place, all those things are the acts of the Father through me. The Father that dwells in me is the one doing the works. Then remember the prayer in chapter 17. That they may be one. Even as we are one. Remember that prayer? In John 17. So it's a prayer to fulfill the outcome of the resurrection, which is what? The ascension. Let me say it another way. It is in the ascension that we have the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the Father in us, you in me, and I in you. That's where it is. That's the ascension. And that is the name of Jesus. So when you hear, these signs shall follow them that believe. The question is, what does it mean to believe according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15? Sorry? To love him. Okay, so what exactly was the instruction that he gave them? He that believeth and is baptized. What does the word baptized mean? Sorry? What's the noun for baptized? To be immersed. Okay, so what are you immersed in? When you say you believe, the believing is baptism, isn't it? So when you are baptized, what are you immersed in light of what you just said? Going to order and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is what? Baptized. What are you immersed into? His death, burial, and what? Resurrection. You are immersed into it. That's what your believing is. So if you are immersed into it, you have now become one with him. Isn't it? So in that verse also, what is this talking about? It's talking about the ascension. Let me say it another way. He told Mary, don't hold me back. I'm yet to ascend to my Father and to your Father. Or in the ascension, it will be clear that my Father is your Father. You will become the mansion that I spoke about. So I'm not taking to a mansion. In the ascension, I go to be a place means I will come and make you God's mansion or God's dwelling place. That is Jesus entering into his glory. Praise God. So again, language may sound a bit confusing. I go. I'll come. Which one are you doing? Are you going? You're coming. I'm doing both. Is it a departure or an arrival? It's an arrival. Once the arrival, I will come again. I'll receive it to myself so that where I am, one man where you are, I'm the Father's house or mansion now. I will come into you and make you the Father's mansion. As Jesus purged you of your sins. Okay. So in the ascension, where did Jesus go? A physical place, or he came into your heart? When he came into your heart, what did Hebrews 2:10 say? He brought you as a son into what? Glory. Hallelujah. Say, the Father lives in me today. Say, the name of Jesus means the Father is living in me today. So if I say the Father lives in me, I'm using the name of Jesus. If I say I'm God's righteousness in Christ Jesus, I'm using the name of Jesus. That's why when you're reading our identification in the epistles, for instance, Romans 6:4. Look at Romans 6:4. Therefore, we're buried in by baptism together, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we should what? I walk in the newness of life. Say, I walk in newness of life. I walk in newness of life. Ephesians 2:5. Ephesians 2:5. Verses that speak about identification, which is the ascension. Reality, even when we're dead in sins, he has what? Quickened us together. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together. And what? Made us sit together in the heavenlies. Where? In Christ Jesus. The word place is italicized because it can be places. In the heavenlies in Christ. So notice, he has quickened us together. He has raised us together. And made us sit together. What is all that in Jesus' language? I'll pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you how long? Forever. So the word together means happening at the same time. Not that he was quickening, you were quickening. You were quickening together with him as the ascension. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has entered into his glory. Hallelujah. And his glory is in my heart today. He has brought me to that glory by living my heart today. Glory to God. So that's why the ascension is where he offered his blood. We know now that his blood is not physical blood. Because the blood is how our sins were purged. So where did he offer his blood? On our hearts. And purged us from all sin. And made our consciences free. Glory to God. Yeah, that's what he did. That is the ascension. That's the name of Jesus. Say, I'm one with him forever. 1 John chapter 3. Are you getting something? So when you're praying, pray with that identification reality, because that means you are praying in the name of Jesus. You are praying in the name of Jesus. 1 John 3 verse 1. It says, behold what manner of God the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us because he knew not. Beloved, now, say now. Now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear, that's physically, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall what? Appear. Glory to God. We shall be like him, for we shall what? See him as he is. And every man that has this opening purifies himself even as he is pure. And then that is a contradiction. No. Every man that has this open doesn't purify himself. Every man that has this open in him, he purifies. You can't purify yourself. The hope is not something in the future. The hope is the present reality, which is you have seen him in the resurrection, so you know what you look like. You know the body you will have, or that will be made manifest. Say, I already have the body. It will be made manifest at the right time. So notice, his appearing is your appearing. His appearing is our appearing. That's why when people are hoping they will make rapture, they don't know the scriptures. If your sins are purged, it's not a separate package. It's not an exam you are going to write. That okay, now that Jesus has put your sin, the next exam now, you will face that one by yourself, whether you qualify for it or not. No, it's part and parcel of the package. He came out with that body as a firstborn among many, as he is. So are we. He now calls that hope. Not to speak of something in the future, but to speak about an expectation that's a present tense reality. Everyone that has this expectation, this hope, he purifies. Glory to God. He purifies. You can't purify yourself. He is the one that purifies you. Say, he's the one that purifies me. Say, he's the one that sanctified me. He purifies. So, to have that hope, listen, is not a work on your part. It is the benefit of resurrection and ascension that you have that hope. For everyone that has this hope, what's that hope? You have this reality in you So Christ is the one that what purifies you. So it's not an attainment. It's not, if you can hold on to this hope, you'll be pure. No. The hope was given in his resurrection and ascension. That hope is with you now. And because of that hope, he purifies you. Hallelujah. He purifies you. So now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be as he is. Okay? We shall be exactly as he is. So the facts about the ascension, which is the unseen parts of his finished work, is detailed for us in the epistles, number one. Number two, it is caught by revelation. Besides the experience that we have in Acts chapter 3 of Peter, using the name by mentioning it, do you know that we don't really have anywhere else where they mention the name besides prayer? And yet, when Paul prayed over Eutychus, who died, Paul did not mention the name, but Paul used the name. That island, is it Patmos? No, not Patmos, sorry. That island, what's the name of that island that Paul was stranded on? Well, they were stranded, not Paul was stranded. And the natives, after they were shipwrecked, they went in, and the chief of that island was sick. After the viper had beaten Paul, and they saw that he didn't die, they thought he would die. Rather, it was the viper that died. And then they welcomed them. And when they got to the place, the chief was sick, and Paul went in unto him and prayed and laid hands and healed him. And they brought many other people, and Paul healed every one of them. Because he's alive. Because he's alive. What was Paul using? The name. The name. Acts 19, verse 6. Acts 19, verse 6. Glory to God. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. This is how the church at Ephesus started. When you look at the next verse. And they went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. So first of all, 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. That is, was presenting facts and evidence from the scriptures. Look at the next verse. And when divers were adding, and believed not, but spoke evil of that way. What is that way? The gospel of Christ that Paul was preaching was called that way. It says, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of how many years? How many years? So that all the which were in Asia were, they had the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the name, the accomplishment, the reputation, the standing, what Jesus brought to pass. That's the gospel. That's actually the gospel. The gospel itself is the name of Jesus. That's what Paul was preaching. And he preached for 2 years. Then something began to happen. Look at the next verse. Bible says, while that was going on, and God wrought to attest to the message, not to attest to Paul. To attest to what Paul was preaching. What was he preaching? Paul was preaching the name. What was the name? What God has wrought. Then God now began to show physical signs to call attention to the spiritual reality. Let me say this way. Has the spiritual reality taking place? Yes. How will men know it will be preached? When you are preaching, what are you doing? You are declaring the name of Jesus. What is God obligated to do? And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick word handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits did what? Went out of them. Glory to God. So the physical signs were proof of an abiding reality. Paul was a representation of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And Paul was preaching, and God was confirming, and God wrought special miracles. So what was Paul using? He was using the name. You know, in this chapter 19, that's where it's written. There's certain such seven sons of Sceva. That's where it's written. They took it upon themselves to call upon the name of Jesus. How did they use it? We adjure you by name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. What does that tell you? It is not in mentioning the name. It can be. It is in using the name. Jesus I know, Paul I know. What is that? Jesus and Paul are in the same office. They're in the same room. They are one. He that sanctifies. And they who are sanctified are all of one. Glory to God. Wherefore, it's not ashamed to name them. Say, I've been named by my Savior. I'm the saved. I'm the redeemed. I'm the blessed. Glory to God. I've been named. He's not ashamed to name me. There's no reluctance on his part. He has named me in bringing me into what? Glory. I've been brought in good glory. Hallelujah. So notice, Paul preached, God wrought. People tried to mimic, but they didn't have the name. They did not have the name. What happened? The demons pounced. They had no authority, no standing. They didn't know what the name meant. That's why we said that we use the name with knowledge. We use it with understanding, we use it with intelligence. We use the name with knowledge. With intelligence, with what? Understanding. You are the embodiment of the name. Say where I stand. The name is. I'm a possessor of the name. Hallelujah. You know, as simple as what I'm saying is, when light breaks forth in your heart. 2 Peter 1, before we start praying tonight. 2 Peter 1. When the light breaks forth in your heart, something will happen. You will reach out to do some strange things. And some people will think you are doing magic. A man came to see John Gillick. He came in using the stick. So John Gillick preached the gospel to him. He said, I don't believe in all that nonsense. I don't believe in all that. He came in with a walking stick. He couldn't even move without it. Because he had issues with his feet. And so John Gillick was a businessman at that time. He was still fully in business. But he was already contemplating leaving the business for ministry. Because the Spirit of God was dealing with him that, you know what? You're wasting time in this office. You're an apostle to South Africa. So he was in that time frame, was still trying to put his business affairs together. So the man came in. He discovered that while he was conducting business, he spent most of the hours of the day conducting kingdom business. He was more interested in the souls of men. So when people come into his office to do business, he will be able to see into their soul and see their state and their condition supernaturally. He was not preaching. He couldn't help it. So this man came in using the walking stick. So John Gillick began to preach. So he said, John Gillick looked at the man and he said that, I don't believe in all that. He said, I don't want to build. He said, I don't believe in all that. He said, don't worry. I have enough faith for the two of us. Ah. I have enough faith for the two of us. So he engaged him in conversation to distract the man from his previous statement when he said, I don't believe. Engage him. They were talking. Then from there, he moved to business and everything. And then the man got up to leave. He got to open the door, was about to go. He said, are you saying you don't believe? He said, yes, I don't believe. He said, how come you left your stick behind? That's when the man realized that it wasn't using the stick to walk. He was already healed. And John Gillick never had the opportunity to pray out loud. His very presence was the name that he used. His very presence was the name. His very presence was the name. I told a lady having bad dreams. I said, every night you are tormented. He said, yes. I said, go and lie down on my bed. Let me see the demon that will come. That was the end. You will do some strange things. At that point when the revelation of your identification eats you, as it is, you will know that's the purpose of the ascension. You know, if we don't use this thing, we are wasting the ascension. You know what it means? It's there, it's a reality, yet you're not working in it. Then why did he do it? He has brought many sons into glory. So those sons should walk in that glory. What's that glory? That you will know. That I'm in you, and you are in me. Or that I'm Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. That means I and the Father are in you. And that means you are in us. A man realizes that. John Gillick used to stand before the mirror and look at the image in the mirror. God lives inside that man. God lives in that man. And they said in his day, he was a contemporary of E.W. Kenyon. They used to have Bible study together. And they gave John Gillick's reputation. They said in his day, he had the strongest revelation of in Christ, God in man consciousness. That John Gillick's ministry was based on God in a man. He would do scientific experiments to show that God was living inside of him. He would tell them, put bacteria, put microscope. Look at what happens to bacteria that is alive when it touches my palms. The bacteria has died. He said, sir, what is that? He said, that's my friend. He's still alive. Because they wondered why during the bubonic plague, people were dying like flies. And he and one or two associates were going. Government was paying thousands of dollars for people that were coming. It's just like the way people were being paid a lot of money during COVID. Nurses were paid, they were paid extra because everybody was afraid to go in. And you wear protective gear. John Gillick never wear any gear. So they asked him, how are you doing it? Everybody that has even mistakenly had contact in their skin, they died. He said, I want you to observe what happens to that plague when it touches my body. And they saw under the microscope that everyone that touched his body died immediately. Say, what is that? Say, that, gentlemen, is still alive. What is that? The Father is in me. And the Son is in me. We are one. Glory to God. We are one. Do you think it was a gimmick? A viper will bite Paul. A viper, a deadly snake. The natives of the island, they knew death sentence. In fact, they concluded it was jinxed. How can you survive this sea? This sea. And you are on land. And a viper will now bite you when you are supposed to be saved. That means you are an evil man. You miss judgment there. The judgment sea came to meet you here. That's what happened. That's what they're calling it. I mean, that was the superstitions. Then you are meant to be panicking. Help me, help me, help me. But just like, just shook it off. And they waited for the normal results of the poison, which only takes less than 30 minutes. Paralysis. Nothing happened. They changed their minds. This is a God. Only a God can survive the venom of this kind of viper. Only the same man now demonstrated what that life is by going in to the chief of that island and healing him of his sickness and disease by laying hands. Paul prayed and laid hands and healed the chief and healed everybody that was sick. That's our heritage. That's our heritage. May you be known for this inheritance. May everywhere you go in 2023, may you carry that same power, that same glory, that same awe, that same sign, that same wonder. May you be one of those who are called upon in emergencies to demonstrate Christ, to put him on display. May you be one of those that are reputed to be one with him, so that they will say, Jesus I know, Stephen I also know. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, your name is mentioned with him. He is not ashamed to name you, and he has named you as a son in that glory. You are the proof of my finished work. That's what Jesus was saying. You are the embodiment of my name. Glory to God. You are the embodiment of my name. When I heal the sick, I'm using the name. When I raise the dead, I'm using the name. When I stop demonic activity, I'm using the name. Yet you didn't hear me mention it. But I'm constantly using the name. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet tonight and pray. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's give him thanks tonight. Oh, we give you thanks. Glory to your name. Oh, glory to your name. Oh, glory to your name. Oh, praise your name forever. 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 Oh, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you for the nations. Thank you for your servants. Thank you for your missionaries. Thank you for the men you have positioned. Thank you for the stirrings. Thank you for the awakenings. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for power. Thank you for mighty workings. Thank you. Thank you. There's a stirring all across board. Thank you. You work special miracles. Thank you. Thank you for those who have reached up. Thank you for those who have strengthened. Thank you for those who have been refreshed. Thank you for those who have comforted. Thank you for divinely granted appearances that increase across board. In these nations where persecution is highest, thank you for strengthening men and women, for putting your word upon their lips, for emboldening them to stand their ground. Thank you for every opposition crumbles. Thank you for prison doors are open again and again and again. For the Lord of glory comes into his own people. Thank you because the enemy's plans are scattered. And is this grace? 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 And his hold over men is completely broken. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The camp of the enemy is spoiled. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, this is what it means to pray by the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We begin to see what's happening in nations and things that will happen. And those things will happen. Glory to God. Yeah, those things will happen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.